You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Steve, give me a thumbs up if I'm on. Now stay standing. Am I on? Can you hear me? I can't tell. Praise the Lord. Hey, we're going to pray. Why don't we just lift our hands to heaven all across this place this morning, from the front to the back, left to the right. I'm going to pray. You can pray with me. But let's believe God's going to do something. Whether we know Jesus or we don't, whether we're doing awesome or we're not, whether there's money in the bank or there isn't, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you're resurrecting us, God. You're resurrecting our mindsets, our attitude, our paradigm. You're resurrecting our families, our marriages, our finance. You're resurrecting our hope, our faith, our love. You're resurrecting prophetic dreams, passion. Jesus, come and meet everyone in the next 30 minutes in whatever need they have, however it looks for them. Father, we give you this service. We give you preeminence in Jesus' name. And everyone that believed it said? Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand as you sit down. Amazing. Sensational. Thanks, team. You're awesome. Good stuff. Good stuff. You well today? Yeah. That's good. We've got a couple of the family away this morning, don't we? It's a little bit sparse. A few people out holidaying instead of, honouring the Lord Jesus. That's all right. That's good. It's good to see you. Good to see you, Brother Wyman. You well? And Sister Wyman. Not just Brother Wyman, Sister Wyman. Brother Chris, welcome up from Sydney. Good to see you. Thank you for wearing a mask. I know it's annoying, but thank you for doing it. We appreciate it. That joke's funny if you know Chris. I'm going to speak to you a message today. Also, just be aware I'm going to do a bunch of stuff with my hands because I don't know, I don't usually wear this. So, I'm going to speak to you this morning from the topic, what do we do on Saturday? What do we do on Saturday? And I think that it's really cool that Good Friday gets a lot of attention because that's when Jesus went to the cross. Obviously, Resurrection Sunday is like the big one. And I was preparing a couple of weeks ago for this message and I just wanted to just go in. Like, I just wanted to be hype city, like the resurrected. I know, that's what I wanted to do. And I felt the Holy Spirit says something really direct. He said, Fred, don't hype them, help them. And I was like, okay, but what about me? I want to be hyped. He's like, I want to help you too with this message. And I was like, oh. So this is exciting and it is amazing, but I want to focus on Saturday. Jesse, if you could pass me my glasses, that would be phenomenal. I took them off because when you're wearing a mask and glasses, it's akin to intense persecution. And so I want to look at Saturday because Saturday, I think, is the most human day of them all in the Easter story. Friday, it's like, oh my gosh, look at what's happening. This is crazy. Sunday, it's like, he's back from the dead. Saturday is like, I hope something happens tomorrow. And I think we can find something here. Let's read John 20. If we could put it up on the screen, team, that would be amazing. It says this, following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen. Cloth. How good is it when you stuff up the inference? With the spices and long sheets of linen. Cloth. The place of crucifixion was near a garden and where there was a new tomb never used before. And so because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, so this was a Friday, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Pretty somber Friday. Like, it's easy to read that and be like, yeah. Like, and then, but later the stone rolled away. We know the ending. We read the review. We know that Aragorn wins. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Lord of the Rings, you're 21 years behind. But then it says this, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. I think it's so significant that a woman came and found the resurrected Christ, but that's another message another time. In June, me and Dad are talking about that. It's going to be fun. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved. John. It's like me writing an autobiography and being like, and then Dad had a meeting with Fred and Jesse, Fred, the one he loved. She said, which isn't actually true, I think I annoy Dad more than Jess, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. All right, we're gonna pause it there. It might seem like a weird place to pause, but I want to focus on the gap between verse 42 and chapter 20, verse 1. I want to focus on that gap where they're like, what is happening? See, what do you do before the stone is rolled away? Exactly. Also, how cute is this? My iPad just had a text alert. My mum got the timings, realised you would have just got on stage to preach. Go, kiddo. Oh, thank you, mother. We appreciate it. Let's take this from a historical perspective, okay? Let's take the Easter gloss off. Let's take the 21st century-ness off it, and let's think about his disciples, his mum, the people that were in his world. They had sacrificed time, treasure, and talent to follow Jesus. Okay, many of them had sacrificed careers to follow him. In this one area, Jesus was a savage. Do you remember that one guy that was like, hey, Jesus, I'm going to come follow you. Jesus is like, awesome. We're going now, though. He's like, I just got to bury dad. Jesus is like, the dead will bury themselves. We got to go. Whoa. Imagine one of my youth, young adult leaders. I was like, you can't go to the funeral. We've got conference. I know it's not fully the same, but but come to conference, unless there's a funeral. So they'd sacrificed time, treasure, and talent. They'd sacrificed the time of like their careers. Many of them were tradesmen. One was a doctor. We got different people going on. They sacrificed that to walk around Mesopotamia with this guy who was awesome. They had sacrificed money. They had sacrificed talent, like a doctor. Let's bring it into our current vernacular. It's like a doctor coming to church, having a touch of God, and God saying, you're called to the mission field, and him going, cool, and telling his practice, I'm done in a month. This is a big deal. They really had all their eggs in one basket. They had really invested all the savings into Bitcoin. Like, they had really gone, this is everything, here you go. But don't invest it if you don't want to lose it. Do you know what I mean, Dan? And so, just a Fred Dan moment. And so once again, I don't know about you, maybe you're more full of more faith than me, but I would have been there going, what? You know, and then theologians like, yeah, but Jesus told the guys that he was going to come back. Yeah, he did. He said lots of things. You know, and I heard a preacher being like, you know, and they saw Lazarus come back out of the grave, so why didn't they believe that Jesus? Come on, man, let's just be humans. They'd seen their Lord Jesus and friend torn to shreds beyond, as I said, beyond recognition of a human and murdered without cause on a cross. And then they went and buried him. There's a finality in this natural to that. And so I don't know about you. I would have been sitting wherever they were being like, I reckon they thought things like, was that a waste of 3 years? I reckon they thought things like, honestly, Jesus, are you serious? They were probably freaking out that the Romans were going to come and find them and kill them. Yeah. Saturday sucked. Band, would you come now? It's easy to cry on Friday and easy to praise on Sunday, but what do we do on Saturday? See, if we could put the graphic up. See, when we've got anxiety, depression, we need peace. When we've suffered abuse and control, we need to be trauma-free. When we've been cheated on and betrayed, we need to trust again. When we're wanting a family, we want to fall pregnant. But what do we do with the gap? Because we have something and we're waiting for something. We preach a lot on this. We preach a lot on this. We need to preach a bit more on this. Because this is the moment where your faith becomes really, really real. Really real. And so, you know, like, anxiety and depression in our nation now, it's like a little cheat code. If you're at a conference preaching, you want to fill the altar, do that one. Not being facetious, the whole room comes. Because the enemy's taking control of people's minds. And so, when you've been cheated on and betrayed, we live in a fallen world with fallen people. You might have even forgiven them, but what do you do when your mind isn't doing the thing? What do you do when you can't trust your spouse even though they didn't do anything? What do you do when you know that you were cut by someone else, but you're bleeding on everyone else, you're going to counseling, you're taking the medication, you're praying every morning, but you're not free yet? Oh, we better go to the scripture because I don't know the answer. Romans 12:12 says this, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Yeah, it is, but it's frustrating as well, though. Because I much prefer, if I could just ride, I don't know why a horse, but if I could just ride a horse from conference to conference and just get set free of stuff, and then I end the conference tour just perfect, it's way better. Way better. Rejoice in our confident hope. Well, Fred, what if my hope isn't confident? What if I'm not patient? Hello. What if I'm not good at praying? Fortunately, there's areas of the Christian walk where there is no cheat code. It says, when you've done all else, stand. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that. He's just amening me. Why do I have to go through Saturday? I'll tell you why. This is a quote from Pastor Mike Todd. There is a deepening of your faith that occurs in the season of your life when you are not in control. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. There is a deepening of your faith that occurs in the season of your life when you are not in control. It's not fun news, though. Who likes being in control? Real quick. Who doesn't care so much? Be honest, if you're like, yeah, whatever, yeah. Okay, three people don't care. They're like, shame, Alex and Chris. Like, yeah, I don't know. Joey gave me like a half flap. He was like, I don't know, kind of flappy. Most of us like being in control. But there's something that happens when we surrender control when the season's bad. Anyone can surrender control when the season's awesome. I'm not awesome if I surrender control when I'm at a hotel with Anna eating steak and we're going to hang out later. Anyone could, like, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. You're just here for me and you're good and you're just... No, man. When everything's going wrong. When finances are week to week. When the stress is huge. When you can't communicate with your partner. When the kids are possessed of Satan. When school's tough. When you are behind on uni. That's the moment. You have to go, God, I give you control. I give you preeminence. And I'm going to keep praying until this thing moves. And I pray that it's just one day for you, like it was here. But sometimes, you know, one day is like 1,000 days in the house of the Lord, which is usually said in a positive way. But Fred, how is this an Easter message? It's an Easter message because there's a principling bridge I want us to walk over today. And that is where we take something from the Bible and we apply it to our life. And there's something that happens with the guy. So I want to talk about a couple of things really quickly. Because if anyone's going through Saturday suffering right now, even though it's Sunday, Sunday is coming. I don't know when for you, but it is. Well, how do you know? Well, I just know. Well, when's it coming? I don't know. What do I do in the meantime? Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, keep on praying. But that's not specific enough. I know. Let's move on. 3 points real quick. You have to speak life while it's in the tomb. You have to speak life. I'm going to go extra biblical for a second. I like to think that Mama Mary was just telling the boys how it was. I like to think that. It's not proven, but she had a lot of faith. Maybe, who should we pick on? Thomas. Probably just pick on Thomas. Maybe Thomas was like, oh, I gave up everything for this. This sucks. I like to think that Mama Mary got up and was like, hey, remember what he said. What did he say? Well, he literally said this exact thing. He said that he'd die and on the third day he'd come back. Third day's tomorrow. Yeah, but did you see him? Did you see how much flesh was rent from his body? Did you see how he cried out in anguish? Did you see the 7-mile walk? Did you see how they pierced his side? You can't recover from that. Mary said, hey, but you're not supposed to be able to calm a storm. You shouldn't be able to feed 5,000 with a lunchbox. Lazarus wasn't actually asleep, he was dead. You've got to speak life while it's still in the tomb. And it's hard. I'm not like, I don't know, I'm very ordinary. I don't think I'm great. So oftentimes I'm at home and I whinge. Yeah, I know, it's just me. I whinge and I'm like, you know, I get home from church and I'm like, oh, Anna, this person wasn't there and that person wasn't there and this didn't work and Sam didn't MD like I wanted him to and this happened and meh, 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 meh. And to be fair, sorry, Sam, just be you, but just a better version of that. but for those of you that don't know, Sam's like an incredible MD. But you get what I'm saying, right? Whinging is so easy. It's so much easier than faith. It's just me this morning. It's so much easier to go home and be like, People do it on Facebook a lot too. They do it on my Facebook a lot. But we've got to become a people that understand that our words form worlds. And we know, you know, my mum for all time has said to me, Fred, the power of life and death is in the tongue. I was about 16 one time and some stuff happened in my life and I wasn't happy about it. And I was like complaining to mum and she said, well, Fred. And it was like, I felt like it was cheap advice. She was like, well, Fred, power of life and death is in the tongue. And I said, shut up. Dad was cooking and I just saw the pan stop. And he went, sorry? And I was like, power of life and death in the tongue. That was obviously done. Words form worlds. Number two, so you've got to speak life over what's in the tomb. Go with me, we're going somewhere. Number two, you have to remember who cares for you. You have to remember who cares for you. Matthew 6, 25 to 34 says this. A little bit of a passage of scripture, but it's food for the soul. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Yeah. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, not sure who's throwing the flowers into the fire, but fair enough, he certainly cares for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God and above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Yeah. What's interesting about that passage is it feels like Jesus repeats himself six times. Because Jesus repeats himself six times. Yeah. Why? Because he knew that as humans we would have a propensity to worry. He literally frames it like four different ways. He's like, check out the birds, check out the flowers. And he says three times, don't worry about your clothing. And I felt convicted. What's Jesus trying to do here? Jesus is guaranteeing the opportunity to be anxious and worry will come up frequently. But don't. But then he provides reasons why not to. Because I care for you. There's another part in the Bible that says, cast your cares on him because he cares. So we've got to speak life while it's in the tomb. We've got to remember that he cares for us. And not in like a, he cares for us. In like a, he deeply cares for my finance, for my kids, for my marriage, for my sex life, if you're married, for everything in my life, he cares about it. He cares about the fact that your sinuses are blocked up. He cares about the fact that you're a bit behind on uni. He cares. And the revelation that he cares about you and all the aspects of your life brings you a confident hope, which we read before in Romans. So you have to dwell on the fact that he cares about you, because then you can have hope in the fact that he cares about you. And it's not the fact that he cares that you have hope in, it's who he is. Number three, you need to know the Easter flow. If I could get a keyboardist up, that would be fantastic. I didn't even mean to make that rhyme, but I did. I'm Stephen Furtick. All right. Can I just say, I don't know if you know who Stephen Furtick is. If you're a preacher, don't listen to him. It's so depressing. He's so good. I'm like, how are you? And like everything he says, like he's... No, I won't say that because it sounds like I'm fishing. Stephen Furtick's awesome. Go watch him. You need to know the Easter flow. All right, team, we're going to go through the Easter flow quickly and then we're going to go through it slowly. Here we go. So let's start with number one. So we've got reality. Number two, dilemma. Number three, deception. Number four, decisions. Number five, death. Number six, deliverance. Number seven, resurrection. Okay, reality, dilemma, deception, decisions, death, deliverance, and resurrection. Cross, stone rolled away, the middle. Can I say, God is a God of the middle? He really is. He's a God of the process. He's a God of when it hasn't happened yet. And often we'll learn far more in the middle than we will at the start or we will at the breakthrough. Often in the middle we learn things that sustain us for life. It's just not super fun. Amen. let's take this, let's go through this from the perspective of Jesus' mum, Mary. Let's go through the first half with that perspective. So we've got reality. The reality is that Jesus died. The reality is that a mum watched her son, regardless of the fact that he was the Son of God, tortured all day, spit on, kicked, pierced, abused, then taken to Herod's, and the same thing happened, then back to Pilate, same thing happened, then carried a cross up a hill, and then slowly drowned in his own blood whilst forgiving someone next to him and forgiving all the people that were doing it to him. This is Mary's reality. See, the dilemma is that that wasn't supposed to happen. Now, what I mean by that is Mary knew, but for all the onlookers, that wasn't meant to be the end of the story. The end of the story was Jesus riding out of Jerusalem holding Pilate's head because he'd just cut it off, with a religious uprising that took back the city of Jerusalem, because that's what they'd seen before. But if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you always got. And Jesus wasn't trying to get what he always got. Jesus was trying to set a world free in perpetuity. He was trying to set us free for eternity. See, then the deception comes in. So reality's happened. There's now a dilemma. And then this is where the devil's like, I'm up. This is like, he's like, it's my turn. And this is where the devil whispers to you that you're a terrible person. This is where he whispers to you that you're false. This is where he whispers to you that it was your fault. This is where he whispers to you that no one cares. This is where he whispers to you that you're too dirty to be redeemed. This is where he whispers to you all the things we hear when no one's around. You better believe that the devil was whispering to Mary right then, oh, you thought you were carrying the Son of God. Remember that thing that happened when you were a teenager where you saw that light and you thought that there was an angelic? That was just in your head. Because deception comes against the word of God. And Gabriel gave her a word from God. Can you imagine the struggle? She's watching Jesus' skin get ripped off and thinking about what Gabriel said. And then decision kicks in. Well, we've had the reality. We've had a dilemma. We've had a deception. Now I have to make a decision. And Romans tells us that the decision we should make is to rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. But it is so easy to make any and every other decision. Friend, don't make decisions when you're in pain. Don't make decisions when you're hurting. Choose instead to pray. Choose instead to trust. Choose instead to lean into the person of Jesus. You know, in early 2016, my wife called me and our marriage was in a terrible place, terrible. And she was on the phone to me and she said, hey, I think I might want to stay at my mum's for a little bit. And everything in me wanted to go into Mr. Fix-It mode. Husbands, guys, you know what I mean? No, do this. Oh, okay, I'll come to counseling. Like, it's fine. Like, I'll buy some chocolate mousse. Like, that's going to fix it. You know, and, you know, I'll do this. And I felt the Holy Spirit so clearly say, don't try and fix it. Don't try and make a decision right now. Just trust me. And so internally, my world was collapsing. But on the phone, I said, hey, whatever you need to do. But when you decide, I'll be here. That's not to make me look awesome, because I was the problem. Don't make decisions on Saturday. Don't leave your marriage on Saturday. Don't leave the church on Saturday. Don't lose hope on Saturday. Sunday's coming. And it's hard, and it's tough, and it hurts, and that's okay. You're allowed to be in pain. You're allowed to be hurt. You're allowed to have emotion. Don't know why, not so much these days, but back in the day, church was like, be perfect and always look perfect and act amazing. Nah, man, I'm having a bad day. I'm reserved the right to cry at the altar of this church. But don't make a decision on Saturday. Then we move into the death of Jesus. Band, you can come join me as well. Jesus died. It's your receipt. Jesus' death is your receipt. I frequently have issues buying jeans. It's a good segue, hey, it's very spiritual. Because I have really big thighs and a big bottom. And so I always need to, but I also hate getting chained. I hate trying stuff on. I'm too busy. Don't have time. I do have time. I just don't want to. And I hate that they talk to you when you're in there, and especially when there's a dude. How you going, bro? Yeah, no, great, dude. Like, just very vulnerable right now. Go away, Clint. You know. So I always need to make sure whether I order online, especially if I order off ASOS or something, I need to keep the receipt. Because if it's pant wear, there's a good chance it's not going to fit. I'm also quite short, so there's just many issues going on, really. Why? Just to prove that I paid for it. See, the death of Jesus on the cross was proof that he paid for you. And there's no fee or charge you could have racked up that isn't covered by it. One of the enemy's favorite things to do is go, hey, yeah, Jesus set everyone else free. Jesus paid for everyone else. Not you. Talking about? Kidding? Do you remember what you did when you were a teenager? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember what you did yesterday? See, the cross is proof that you've been paid for. What's something worth? You know, Dan's house might be worth, if a valuer came, you know, it might be worth, you know, 2.5 mil. But that's not really what it's worth. It doesn't matter what the valuer says. It's what someone's willing to pay for it. Yeah. Valuer can say, hey, your house worth 2.5 million. Yay, him and Jess high five and get some Greek bowls and dance around and play Settlers of Catan and invite me over and then I win. What? But it doesn't matter what the valuer says. It matters if a couple or someone comes and says, hey, here's the money for the house. Same applies to you. What are you worth? What someone's willing to pay for you. And Jesus said you were worth everything. He said you were worth everything. And I'm sorry, any argument you have against that is invalid because he put his body where his mouth was and he died. And it wasn't just physical. He separated himself from God for you. So Jesus died. And then we come to deliverance. I love this. See, the thief understood this moment. One of them did. He said, Jesus, would you remember me when you go to paradise? Jesus said, surely you will be with me there today. What's cool is the point of the cross was displayed on the cross. Jesus saved someone as he was dying. He was so focused on the mission. He hadn't even gone to hell and taken the keys of life and death yet, but he was like, hey, let's go. Let's go. You got faith, you believe? Let's go to paradise, man. This should strike at the very root of condemnation and I'm not good enough. They're called thieves, probably murderers and rapists. And he may have lived his entire life doing the wrong thing. But in just a moment, the resurrected King resurrected him. Deliverance is powerful. It's for today. It's now. I know I'm not building loudly because it's like, do we clap, do we not? But I don't really care about that. I just want us to just permeate on this truth. And if we know it, let's know it deeper. And if we don't, give me 30 seconds and I'll give you a moment to respond to it. And then resurrection. The final moment of Easter flow. Reality, dilemma, deception, decision, death, deliverance, and resurrection power. You know, tonight I'm talking about after Jesus has come back to life and how he, maybe not super preach story, but how he meets Cleopas and his wife on the road to Emmaus. And within a day and a half of coming back to life, he's walking with insignificant people on an insignificant road to an insignificant city to handle their insignificant issue. Why? Because that's the reason he died, was to help normal people. And it's displayed here in resurrection power. Why do we stand this morning?